I was brought to church as a baby. Every Sunday we were here. I was part of our family had devotions at around the breakfast table every morning after we got through milking and ate my mother's hot biscuits every morning of the world. And riding to church on Sunday nights, our family would sing hymns and choruses, and we'd sing my dad's favorite many times, "I Am So Glad That Jesus Loves Me." But all of these things, they didn't make me an automatic Christian, did they? Even though all the family influences I had and church influences. In the spring of 1951, I was sitting in a red vinyl chair in our kitchen talking to my mother and telling her that I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. And I remember that night we went to church, the revival here at church. Brother J.R. Black was holding it, and I came forward at the end of the service and said I wanted to accept Jesus, put my trust in Jesus. So that was a long time ago, and 65 years later, God is still continuing to teach me through his word and through so many people and circumstances, music, all of you here, just in so many ways, experiences, good times, bad times, miracles, whatever. And I just look around at all of you all here, and most of you have played an important part in my life, and I just thank you so much for that. I'm grateful. But and I'm so glad to be a part of the fellowship here right now, the things God's doing. What a blessing to be here right now and to be a part of God and seeing him work in people's lives. It's just the most exciting thing. But just this morning in our Bible study class, we're doing the Gospel Project, and the writer had a question, and I want to read it. Hope I've got this loud enough. Can everybody hear me? Okay. The question the writer asked in our quarterly was, are you using God's gifts of time, talent, and treasure for God's glory or for something else? And that made me think, are we using what we have, what he's blessed us with, to point others to Jesus? Are we doing that? Well, God has been so good to me through my life, and God's blessed us with wonderful children and grandchildren, and I'm glad to see some of them back there, see my brother back there. But it's been a wonderful life, and it's been great to grow up and live on the farm and work there. And being a part of farm life, there's many ways you see a God at work. And I remember about 30 or 35 years ago, we had this horrible ice storm. It started in December and just continued through February. We had ice, ice, ice on the ground. And the cow lots were covered with ice, and it was so hard for the cows to even get the silage bunk or water tanks. It was just a depressing time, no sunshine and so forth. And one morning, we were just about through milking, and I stepped up to open the parlor door and let the last group of cows in, and I looked back into the holding lot, and there on this big creosote post, sunshine was just bouncing off of that post. And tears just immediately came, and I thought, God's seeing our situation. He's got this under control. And to top it off, I went to take our tax papers into Fulton that day, and I walked in Dorothy Rastak's office. There on the wall was a plaque, and if you want to put that up, with these words on that plaque: I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. God has it all. He's taking care of us. And I looked that scripture up in my Bible, and God told the Israelites, the people, his people, I'll not forget you. I'll take care of you. And I thought, God's got it. You know, it was just such a blessing at that time. In late August of 1997, I was sitting in a wheelchair at the Boone Hospital waiting for my family to come get me. I'd been in the hospital for almost 2 months. I had a spinal cord stroke and pulmonary embolism. I can't even say that word. But throughout the time in the hospital, God had really blessed me with an upbeat, positive attitude. I just sensed and knew he was taking care of me, and I wasn't really depressed or anything about it. I was real upbeat. But right at this moment, when I was sitting in that wheelchair waiting for my family to come get me, my mind just got filled with fears about how am I going to take care of myself? Will I be able to do everything right to take care of my body? And can I take care of the family? It would be another year almost of rehab and water therapy before I'd be able to use this walker here. So, you know, I was just kind of thinking about it. You know, now that it's time to get home, and I was really filled with fear. And a nurse I didn't even know came into the room and whispered God's message in my ear. And through his angel, that nurse was an angel, God's reassuring words came to me and told me that he would take care of me. He would show me what to do. It would, you know, it would work. And that was just such a blessing. Well, just a few years ago, I had this big time of fear and worry in my life. And doesn't worrying come with being a mom and a grandma? I mean, but no, that's no excuse, I guess, because Nick had a really good article on the internet just a few days ago about the, quote, acceptable sins in the church, and worry was one of those sins. But really, when we worry, fear, sin creeps in. We don't trust God. So that's kind of where I was at that moment. So here we were at church on a Sunday morning, and Bridget Cadell, I don't know if too many of you remember her, but she wasn't here too long, but she was standing up there to sing a solo, and right before she sung, and you can put the next scripture up if you want, she read that verse, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, I don't know what message you get from that scripture, but he will quiet you with his love. And that's what he did right then. I mean, I thought, wow, I've read the Bible through many, many times in all my years. I don't ever remember that verse, reading that. But anyhow, God used that verse to speak to me. Well, right after the service, I was sitting here kind of getting my stuff together and just still kind of overcome with what God had said to me about my fear and worry and taking care of it, everything. And I've sensed somebody sitting down beside of me, and it was Carson, and he asked to pray with me, and he did. And then afterwards, I just thought, I was just stunned. Bridget had no idea when she read that verse. I don't even remember what song she sang, but I know the verses. And Carson came up there and prayed with me. God used two people who didn't even, they weren't aware, I don't think, that God was using them to speak to me. And I thought, that's just how God does. He speaks to us in so many ways. And then a reinforcement came a couple weeks later. In the mail, we got a card from the Gepperts over in Illinois. And Hattie had written that they'd be over to see us in a couple days. Guess what was on this card? Zephaniah 3:17. So I keep this card in my Bible by my bed. Though everything wasn't instantly okay with all my big worries and situations, God in his mercy gave me a calm assurance that I could trust him to take care of it. And now, as time has passed, I can daily thank him for the miracles that he did work and is continuing to work. I just look to that verse so often. And the last line of a chorus that we're going to sing tonight in a song goes through my mind so many times, so many times. It's Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. And that's, you know, really what it takes. I want to refer one more time to our Bible study lesson. It was so good this morning. I'll read this on trusting God. God says, I will be with you. Trust me. Trust in my timing. My purposes are good and best.